Fine. So, last week we started, we were really doing an agadic thematic overview of the Bavas, Bava Batra in specific. So, to recap, first of all, as Tosfot notes, Bava Batra was at some point not the third Masechet in this series, but in fact part of one huge Masechet called Masechet Nezikin. A nice, wonderful 30 prakim. And as you go through Bava Basra, go through the Bavas, through Nezikin, things get less and less mi'ugan bipsukim. Anchored. There we go, that's the word. Anchored in the psukim. Slowly but surely, even though I teach in English all day, right? Slowly but surely, Hebrew words come to me faster than English. Slowly, my mind atrophies and my mother tongue escapes me. Fine. So, what we saw last week that we after that was first of all that right when the Gemara there the Mishnah therefore says Arosh Shiyachim Yasok B'dinei Mamonot, the reason that the Tiferet Yisrael highlights is because of this human element, and we said first of all there's practical reasons why it makes you smarter. First of all, it's just complex. The second point is that you can never just be machmir, because there's no such thing as chumrah and dinei mamonot, because whatever is a chumrah for one person is a kula for the other. You have to come to a decision of sorts. There's no such thing as a chumrah. The best you can do is encourage pshara, right? Is encourage compromise. But if the litigants say no, then you must then not compromise. You can't just do that. There's even a gemara, there's a machloket in Sanhedrin Davav, whether it's a mitzvah liftsoa, right, a mitzvah to encourage compromise, or asur liftsoa, or if it is forbidden to compromise, rather encouraging Yikov Hadin et Ahar, which is one of the Gemara's greatest images. Yikov Hadin et Ahar literally means follow strict justice, but literally it means may Yikov Hadin et Ahar, means may justice pierce the mountain, right? It's a beautiful, beautiful description. But we noted last week that it seems to be more than just a recognition of the fact that Dinei Mamonot is complicated and therefore sharpens your acuity and encourages you to engage your intellect in a way that other areas of Torah may not require. But it's also, as we saw from Rav Kook, it celebrates the human element. Right, that's the point. We like the human element, the human investment in Torah. That's what makes Torah great. Let's turn to 17. Okay, that's, I think, where we're up to. Okay. There are several other perspectives that emerge as to this uniqueness of Dinei Mamonot. I'll say it outside and we'll get through the sources better because I know not all of you have the sources. It will encourage me not to read everything. What? You could try. I don't think you're going to find any of these. I don't think the Panim Yafo, the Chasam Sofer, or the Tepuche Chaim will be on it. No, I don't think so. Not the Chasam Sofer Ala Torah. I don't think so. Okay, so one point that emerges from several Mefarshim is don't overstate what I said last week, right? Which is, yes, the human element is important. Yes, that's part of the uniqueness of Dinei Mamonot. But you have to remember that God is still involved, meaning just because this is human and there isn't psukim, there's a danger implicit in that, which is you will forget that it's not purely human, right? Meaning it may be the area of Torah that is subject to the most human input, but it's human input into Torah, right? And that's something that is dafka hard to remember after spending so much time celebrating the fact that it's takes an investment of human intellect, you might forget. You might say, well, what's the difference between Torah and, you know, American law, British law, Roman law, Greek law, Ottoman law, whatever, which is basically a description of modern Israeli law, which is everything I just said ripped, wrapped into one. It's a mess and a half, right? It's a little bit of Ottoman law, a little bit of British law, and a little bit of halacha. It's totally and completely chaotic.
What's the Ottoman law?
Well, we were part of the Ottoman Empire, so there's a lot of holdover laws.
What?
There are holdover laws from the Ottoman period.
Like what?
The chief rabbinate.
That's not like a...
No, it's a holdover from the Ottoman Empire where marriage was controlled by religions. That's why it's not just the chief rabbinate. For Muslims, it's controlled by... It's also religiously controlled. So, the chief rabbinate, that is a holdover from the, you know, Ottoman period. Through the British period. Yeah, we have a lot of weird laws. Whatever. Ha ha ha. But to be fair, I was once reading Canadian law, and they were totally at loss to find the law in Canadian law, so they relied on a Phoenician law they came across, which was really weird. So it's not just us. But the Chasam Sofer makes this point. I don't know. Why was I reading Canadian law is the better question. No, the reason was because I was giving a continuing credit course in Canada, so of course I had to read the Canadian law. And I concluded by the end, as did Reiter Chiner, American law is so much more fun to read than Canadian law, because American law is like wrapped up in philosophical principles and things like that. You know, we look at our Constitution, and Canadian law is like really boring. Just really boring. There's like no lofty principles at all written into their laws. It's very like, I don't know, very strange. Okay, so Chasam Sofer makes this point. And he writes that K'tiv ner l'ragli dvarecha v'or l'nativati, your words are a candle to my feet and a light to my path. And he says, what does that mean? Perish. Lo mi boy shener l'roshi dvarecha b'inyanei rashim sichli ot sh'olam haba pshita. Obviously, when it comes to Schar V'Onesh, the world to come, obviously the Torah is our guide. You have to remember, El afilu hei mishpatim shemein adam l'chaveiro nami ataneiri. But you have to remember, even when you're dealing with monetary law, God is still your guide. Right? As much as we celebrate the human element, God is in this picture. He has to be. Or it's not Torah. Right? V'lo'od el azeha neir asher l'ragli. Haynu dinei mamanot hu orlan ativoti. And that is the light to your path. It's, yes, the human element, but because God is behind it, Karot Seshe Yachim Yasok B'dinei Mamonot. And you get this in different forms. That's the most succinct form that I put here, but the Panim Yafot as well, in his commentary, this might actually be on Sfaria, I'm not sure, the Panim Yafot might actually be on Sfaria, but the Panim Yafot on Shmot, Perekhaf Aleph, Psukim Aleph and Bet. When why is he commenting on Shmot Perek Chaf Aleph? What pasuk is Perek Chaf Aleph? Pasuk Aleph. You have it in front of you. Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnehem. It's the beginning of Mishpatim. Come on, you literally have it. And he notes that Chazal make the point on Ve'ela Mishpatim, which is monetary law. What's Ve'ela? What's the Vav? And so what is it connecting to? So Chazal add... So Chazal... No. Yeah, but what do you have in the intro? Thank you. Matan Torah. So Chazal comment, Ma Rishonim Misinai Af Ilu B'Sinai. That it's critical to remember that Ve'ela Mishpatim. Right? That just like all the laws that are obviously from God. Shabbat. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Right? Things like that are from God. So are Mishpatim. And that's really the chiddush of the Eile Hamishpatim. So now I'll skip down. He writes, Umashes hiru bazeh b'mitzvot hadinim yoter mishar mitzvot. Why are we warned more about monetary law than other mitzvot? Mibnei shechazal, amru chazal b'gemara, amru rabbi Yishmael arotzeh sheyachkim yasok b'dinei mamanot. Right, Rabbi Shmuel had said that the you want to become smart, learn monetary law. She'ein lecha miktsa b'tarei yoter me'en. Ne'em kima yana noveya. You have no specialty in Torah that is as hard as them, and they're like an ever flowing spring. Inyano shekulam hem b'derecha chokhma v'aseichem v'nedim jom zemizah. Which was already said. Why is that true? Because so much of it is based on human intellect and comparisons. Masha'inu b'shar mitzvot, which is not true about other mitzvot. Right? Other mitzvot, you can't say, well, that sort of looks like a treifa, because it looks like that treifa. Right? It's an explicit halacha in chulin, ein medamin b'treifot. Right? By treifot, you don't do that. You don't say, well, you don't compare it conceptually. This siman a tarfut, right? This hole in the lung makes it a treifa. Something else doesn't. Right? Whatever it is, it is. Whatever it isn't, it isn't. By dina mamano, literally every case is, as you know, does hezek re'iyah, is that similar to eavesdropping and bugging, right? As we talked about in Shir. Right? That's like five levels of conceptual, right? Jumps to get to that conceptualization, right? To that formulation. You don't do that in, right, Isser v'Heter, right? You don't say, well, you know, cow is sort of like pig in the sense that they're both mammals, and therefore cow is usher, and you know, like you don't make cheshbonot like this, right? It's just not how things work. And therefore he says that's why it is kemayan hanoveya, right? That's in the sense that it's an ever-flowing spring, because you can make these comparisons, you should make these extrapolations, and as new cases come up, you have to, right, apply and reinterpret. That's the way it works. But at the end of that, he says, "V'odish lefarish masha amra sher tasim lifnehem pi mashon chazal kol adanet din." But Chazal say that if you judge a case properly, then it's as if you were part of Masa Breshit with God. Why? Because even though you're right, law down here is judgment and practical, but it reflects divine law. And that's why it's so necessary for the world to stand on it. And therefore, what you see in different voices is that as much as it's true that Dine Mamon is the one where there is so much contribution of the human intellect, it's Dafka there that you have to remember, but it's still Torah. And the Tapukei Chaim adds here that it seems to be, right, that the Gemara says if you want to learn Dine Mamono, that you dafka should go to Ben Nanas. Why? So it says, because the Chazal say in Avot that kol shiyirat cheto kodemet lechachmato, chachmato mitkayemet. Right, that anyone who has fear of God before he has Torah, so then his Torah will last. And Ben Nanas was known for his yirat chet. And he says that's what is, right, what it's trying to get at here, right, is that, yes, Dinei Mamonot may be the right, the sort of the sea of, in Hebrew sea, the pinnacle. I remember when I was in yeshiva, we had a Shabbaton here in Givat Si, I think, and at somebody's house, and they wanted to pretend that Givat Si wasn't with the letter C, right, so they claimed it was this C, right, the pinnacle. But it's not. It's not. And so even if Dine Mamon is the pinnacle of human intellect, who is the one who should teach it? Ben Nanas, who was known for Yirat Chet. Right? So the next point that you have to make is that as much as it's true, right, as much as it's true that Dine Mamon is unique in the amount of human intellect that is necessary and is proper to contribute, and that's part of what makes it great, dafka there, you have to balance it with a personality like Ben Anas, with the recognition that it's still Torah. You still need your Shamayim. You're still attempting to reflect on God's will. Okay. That's the first major point that I wanted to make today. Let me see which points. I might not do this in order because I want to get to different point. No, okay, I'll try to go in order, but we'll. Okay. there are some, though, there are some thinkers who weren't so thrilled with this idea that the highest level of Torah is that which relies only on the human intellect. Right? As much as we saw Rav Kook and the like who really celebrated it, as you can imagine, there might be some thinkers who would balk at that. Right? So let's say you're not the type of person who, like Rav Kook, is willing to just say, yeah, of course, Dinei Mamarot is the highest level of Torah because it requires the human intellect. So how else could you read the Mishnah? How else could you read the law in Arot Seh Sheyachim Yasok B'Dinei Mamarot? If that's not an end goal, then why are you celebrating it? Why are you, right? Why are you giving that, closing all of Seder Nezikin with that, right, Mesechet Nezikin, with that glowing statement? If not, as Rav Kook says, that it's celebrating the human intellect. Right, we saw one perspective last week, but always remember, there are always more perspectives. I may like that perspective, but that doesn't mean it's the only one. We have to be honest. Right, so what else might it mean? Very good, exactly. Right, so we saw, for Rav Kook, it's an end. Right, the reason is the highest of Torah is because we want Torah, which has contributions to the human intellect. But if you're the type of person who is quite, who is a little bit more suspect of the human intellect as its own goal, then you all have to make one slight switch, which is to say, not harotze sheyachkim yasuk dinei mamonot as an end, but harotze sheyachkim, you want to be smart, yasuk dinei mamonot, because that'll get your intellect up to par, and then you could do important things. Right? Then you could do the really important things. I mean, human intellect is important, but as a means to an end, but it's not the end. That's not the pinnacle. So several major thinkers took that approach. Right? Again, Rav Kook thought, no, harosta shiachim yasub dinei mamonot meant you want to be wise and that's your end goal in life. Dinei mamonot is as high as you can get. But other people said, no. It's a great start. It's a great tool. It sharpens your acuity, but that's not the end, right? You got to do something with that. So, they base this on the following. The Gemara, in a very well-known passage in Shabbat Lamed Aleph, this is among the most famous passages, I think, in Shas. Don't give me that look. Don't give me that look. Please, please tell me most of you have at least heard once of the Gemara that said, when you go to Shemayim, these are the questions that God asks you.
Yes.
Okay, see, I told you.
We don't know the Gemara.
I didn't expect that too much. But I expected that once I said it, you'd all be like, oh yeah, I've heard of that one.
I've heard the Daf before, but I didn't make the connection.
Well, very good. Good answer. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara has two sets of statements in a row. Before that, there's a slightly less well-known statement. Also, not known, but not as well-known. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, "Mai dechtev v'haya emun aditecha chosen yishur chochma v'adad v'gomer." What does this pasuk mean of emun aditecha, the faith of your time, etc.? Mar Darshan's emunat, zeseder zraim. Emunat refers to zraim, the first sixth of Shas. Itecha, your times, ze seder moed, times moed. Chosen, zeseder nashim. Yishuot, zeseder nizikin. Chochmat, zeseder kodashim. This is what's important for us. Wisdom is kachim, vidat ze seder taharot. Vafilu hachi, and nevertheless, yirat Hashem yitzaro. He otzaro. Yirat Shamayim is the storehouse for Torah. Amar Rava, and Rava says, bisha'ash machnisim adam ledin. When you take someone into Torah, to judgment, they say, nasata venatata be'amunah. Did you do business honestly? Kavata itim letara. Did you set times to learn? Asakta b'peri v'rivya. Were you involved in procreation? Sipita li Yeshua. Did you hope for Mashiach? Pilpalta b'chachma. Did you Did you analyze wisdom? Pilpul is intellectual gymnastics. Havanta davar mitoch davar. Vafilu achi. Yiran Hashem hi otsaro. In ilolo. And still, if you have Yirat Shamayim, so then you have somewhere to put the Torah. And if not, not. And then he gives a mashal of someone who tells his shliach to get him a lot of wheat. Right, and he says, right, if you didn't mix in a little bit of chomtin, it won't last. So it's not worthwhile. Now, in this Gemara, what is identified as chachma? Kachim. Not dinimono. So several of Mepharshim say, I don't understand, right? In Bava Batra, you say, Aros Tashiach Kim Yasok B'dine Monot. And in Shabbat, you say that Chachmas Kachim. So in the Torah Moshe, Chassam Sofer, another, the Chassam Sofer all Torah, he says the reason is because the Mishnah aren't just in the order they happen to be. It's actually a ladder. You go up it. You go up in Madrega HaKedusha, from Emunat Itecha to Chosen Yeshuot to Chachma. And therefore he says, this is how you're supposed to understand it. HaRotzeh SheYachkim Yasok B'Seder Yeshuot. Dehainu SheYachkim, Hainu Chachma SheSeder Kachim. We want you to sharpen your intellect by learning Dini Lamanot so you're ready to learn Kachim. But Kedusha is what comes afterwards. V'tam yeter Kedusha nigmei mamarot, mishum zezen nikra hashkachar abore, labir al darakei, v'alo b'nei adam ha'shalim gam heima havel. So the reason is because even in Dinei Mamanot, you see, one second, you see hashkacha because you see that people are pathetic, right? Right? As you're dealing with Dinei Mamanot, you see, Gevalt, right? All these fights, people are flawed. Let me just finish this idea. Nevertheless, people are fickle, and God gives judges the wisdom to figure them out. Even though they're lying and tricking. And once you get to that insight, you realize that human beings are fickle, and God gave us the wisdom to deal with it, right? And you've managed to go through that, then that process of understanding the frailty of humanity and realizing that God gave human beings the intelligence to somehow deal with the frailty of humanity, then you'll get to real chachma, and that's kachim. And kachim and tarar, as you know, have a lot more psukim, right? It's almost entirely, right, Psukim in the Torah. It's Beit HaMikdash, Kedusha V'Tara. Right, so the Chacham Sofer, Ayotze Sheyachtim, Yazuk Neimon, is not like Rav Kook. Oh, human intellect. It's, no, if you use your human intellect to realize that God is there for you to help you, oh, you pathetic, fickle humans, then you'll be Zochet a real wisdom. Now, these are two very different perspectives, right? That the human element being the ideal, or the human element being the opportunity to understand how fickle you are, so that you can get the real chachma when you basically give up and say, "Aha, God, right? You're everything, right?" Those are two very different perspectives of what exactly your conceptualization of Dinei Mamonot is. Yes, Yonatan, so patient. Yes.
What did it call Satan the Zikun? It called Daat, right?
Yeah, chachma is kachim, Daat is tara. Yeah. Fine. The Chofetz Chaim comments on why is Kadshim Chachma? Because it takes more Chachma than any other of the Siddarim. Right? That's the one that really takes the wisdom. And this is his hakdama to his parish on Kachim, which is basically, look, most people just don't manage to get to it, right? They learn everything else and they stop before Kachim. Don't do that. Don't stop before Kachim. Learn Kachim. We love Kachim. No, keep going into Tarot. We love Kachim and Tarot. We love them.
No, then do Kachim.
And he says even people who learn Shas a la Seder, they don't necessarily get to it. They just read it. He said, and even people who learn Kachim, they tend to read it like they're learning Parshat Vayikra. They just like, their eyes glaze over, right? Oh, more Karbanos, yeah. Right? Don't do that, right? The real Chachman, the Chavetz Chaim, is Kachim. Now, Kachim happens to be awesome. I have nothing against Kachim. You should learn Kachim, please. No, I did last year. I love Kachim, I love Taris. I love Kalim less. You know, I find Kalim mind-boggling. I'm not that smart. No, not really. But there, Kalim is not a Gemara, it's a Mishnah. There is no Gemara. Neither Bavli nor Yerushalmi. But I do love Kachim. Only Nida. Nida is the only Masechet in Tarot which has Gemara on it. Bavli and Yerushalmi. Yes.
Wait, that's in Tarot? I thought that would be in
Tarot. No. Wait, I'll let Rami digest it. No.
It's just so misleading.
It's not, because most of the halachot of Nida have nothing to do with marital law. Nowadays it does, but most of the halachot are about tarot, are about what if a nida touches, right, truma, and you know. That's why it's in tarot. Sorry. For the record, nida in Shulchan Aruch is also not in Eben Ezer, which deals with all the other marital issues. It's in Yoredeya. Yeah, meaning it's. Like, it's not. Like, it's from Simon Kuf Be Gimel to, like, Reish-ish, right? In Yehudea. Depends whether what you're counting. I mean, if you're counting, like, the bracha on mikvah, right? It depends exactly where you want to end it, right? So, like, depending which Simon you're talking about. Okay, around there. Wherever you want to end it. But, right, it's like, you know, like, it's in the middle of, you know, like, Kuf Ayin Ches is like Chukas Akum. Right, that's right before Hilchos Nida, you know, and you know the reish include Kibbutz Aim and Staka, and you know, all that's in Yoredeya. Okay, now the Chavetz Chaim was therefore quoted in saying, "Well, wait a second, if real Chachma is Kachim, then." Again, why do we say Rosh Yachim Yasuk B'dinei Mamonot? And he says, well, because it's good to get your mind going. But Kachim is based on Psukim, and that's the real Chachma. So here you have two diametrically opposed perspectives, right? You have the perspective that the fact that it's not based on Psukim is what makes it so great, because the human element comes to its right fullest expression. And then you have the Chavetz Chaim and Taras Moshe who are saying, no, it's Punkt Faker. It's the exact opposite. Right? It's because there's no psukim by Dinei Mamonot, it sharpens the intellect. And therefore, if you learn it, it'll get your mind sharp so that you can then learn Kachim, which is totally and completely psukim from beginning to end. Right? So these are two diametrically opposed perspectives. Is the human element the end goal, or is it a means to an end? Okay. I'm going to skip for a moment this distinctions question. I want to go to the Ben Yoyada. Who notes that there's something else which is unique about Dinei Mamonot. It's not just how much intellectual energy you have to put into it. It's also the unique place that the moral dimension plays in Dinei Mamonot. So if you look at the Ben Yoyada in 27, he writes, this is on Sarya. It's the Ben Yoyada on Rav Batra Kofayin Hayim and Bet. HaRotzeh Sheyachkim Yasok B'Dinei Mamonot She'en Lecha Mektoa B'Torah Yoter Mimena Mehen. So near Libisyata Dishmaya, Hadi Karle Bishem Miktsoa. He says, why is Dinei Mamonot called a Miktsoa, a profession? Ki Miktsoa Bihipuch Advan Tsoakim. Because if you flip it around, it is Tsoakim. Right? You can anagram it to Tsoakim. Right? People who are screaming. And you can also play around with it and get to Oktim, which is like being stung, right? And he says, you know why? Because this is what's unique about Dinei Mamonot. Dinei Mamonot always ends up where you have people fighting each other. So Akim, right? Yelling at each other. The Oktim and stinking each other. Right? That's what Dinei Mamonot looks like. Right? Don't fool yourselves. Right? Dinei Mamonot is
good people yelling at each other.
Yes, it's basically, it's like the Knesset on any given morning about anything. Right? Okay. For all of you who've ever watched the Knesset, you think that things get heated in the Senate, right? Or the House of Republicans. You have never watched. That is so many years ago. Come on. But
you're going to forget that, at least?
It's nothing compared to the Knesset. Trust me. Trust me.
If someone can pull off something dumb,
what are you talking about? Parush, who's from the Haredi party, handcuffed himself to the shtender so that they couldn't get rid of him so he could just say that. What are you talking about? Right? The antics in that place are like unbelievable. There are fist fights like all the time over nothing.
Wait, did you ever have a Knesset member beat another one with a cane?
I'm sure. That isn't even like a question. I'm sure that happens routinely. Like, the Knesset is unbelievable. Then you get Gemara fights between like Haredi members of Knesset and secular professors of Talmud. It's hysterical. Wonderful. Between Ruth Calderon and Gaffney. It was unbelievable. Right? Like during the 9 days, and she's like yelling at him, oh, Sinas Chinam. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm Oretz. So it's like, oh my gosh, it's unreal. Like, only Israeli politics. Maisa be'echad shedanim chaveiru lefnei adayan. V'chivo adayan mea dinarim. And then he tells a story. There was once a guy who came to a judge, and he said, you owe him 100 dinar. And he starts screaming like a rooster. So he said to them, listen, guy, listen, man. If I had told you that you had chametz on a boat that you forgot to get rid of before Pesach and you couldn't access it, it was on your boat, right? And I told you it was chametz shel erev Pesach, you have to throw it out. It was worth 10 times this. What would you do? Would you scream and yell? What'd the guy say? If you told me, throw my chametz into the sea, I would have thrown it into the sea. So Amar Lom Ken Lamat, that's all come eight dinarim. He said, okay, so what are you so angry about? But the 100, right? Or the 100 dinar. Amar Lo, ha chametz halach liibud, velo irviachav to adami meni. What do you mean? The chametz I threw out, right? But the 100 dinar goes to him. Right? That's much worse. Kedesh el kanebo, gam odon yitzchani adambo. Right? And no one would have beat me. The chametz didn't beat me. This guy beat me. That makes me angry. Right? That's worse. Hayiti mekabel din b'shtika, achiyuv zerviyecha adam shekenegdimi meni. But now you're giving the person who's opposed to me. V'lo od elit para, like in itzchuni, now he's going to make fun of me. I beat you in court. I win. L'chein kasha l'aydar v'etzak. So,
he's a very self-aware guy, by the way.
Oh, amazing. He says, Al-Kain, he says, L'dinei mamonot ben adam l'chaveru karlu miktsoa. He said, that's the real challenge of Dinei Mamonot. Shubihivok atzvan oksim shen sokim zedzeh. Because it's not enough to judge right. You're in a minefield, right? Between real people who don't want to lose. It's not just they don't want to lose money. They don't want to lose, right? And he says, V'omru and he said, and this is why it needs chachma, right? Because you need to really look into things, right? Because it's a minefield, right? Part of the reason, so what things have we seen, right? We've seen the people say, Dinei Mamonot is unique because it requires human intellect. Now, some people celebrate that, like Rav Kook. Other people said, no, it's the opposite. We celebrate the things that are based on psukim, but Dinei Mamonot is a good start. Ben Yoyada seems to add another, which is the part of the problem of Dine Mamonot is you have to remember that so much of the challenge is people don't want to lose. You have to be sensitive to people. Right? That's part of the challenge. It's not just Chachma. It's that you have to be really careful because no matter what you do, you're going to lose. So someone's going to be angry. Right? So it's really important. It's not just the Chumrah issue that you can't be Machmir. It's that there are human emotions involved here. Right? There are, right? It's not just law. Right? People won't get angry at you in the same way about making something not kosher. They won't. Because they're not invested in it in the same way. Right? But people don't like losing to other people. Right? And that's part of why you need Chachma. And that's part of the critical elements of monetary law. Okay. The Marsha, let me go to the Marsha for a minute, turn back to 26. Marsha says, on this comment as follows. He notes that the Gemara brings up this comment in two places. One is in Bava Basra, which we just read, right? But it also comes to the end of Brachot, and that's in number 25, where the Gemara says, Amri debe Rabbi Yanai, Mai dichtiv ki mitz chalav yotzi chema umitz av yotzi dam umayet apayim yotzi riv. What does that phrase mean, that with the juice of milk will come out butter, and juice will bring out blood, and the mitz apayim will take out fights? What does that mean? B'mi ata motzei chachma shel Torah. Who do you find the Torah with? B'mi she'meki chalav she'erak b'shtei imo alea. It's someone who's like so invested in the Torah that he will like vomit up even the milk that he nursed as a baby. Meaning like, it's like an image of total...
Why? Because like he's concerned like it wasn't
at all? No, it's just... umitz av yotzi dam kol tamid she'koes alav rabo pam rishona v'shotek. Any Talmud who his Rebbe gets angry at him and he's quiet about it, zochel avchin bedam tamei ledam tahor, will be able to distinguish between tahor and tamei blood. Mitzapayim yotzi riv kol tamid shekoez lav rabo pam rishonav shnei avishodek. If someone manages to maintain his cool even when his Rebbe gets angry at him twice, zochel avchin bedinei mamon ledinei nefashot, will be able to tell the difference between dinei mamon and dinei nefashot. Ditnan Rabbi Shmuel Omer otze sheyach kim yasuk bedinei mamonot she'ein lecha miktoa betora yoter mehen she'ein kamana yoveh. So Marsha says, well, what's going on here, right? What exactly does the Gemara in Brachot want to add to this? If you look four lines down the Marsha, it says v'yesh ledaktik ma'af chana shayich bein dinei nefashot ledinei mamonot. What is the difference? What do you mean? The difference between monetary law and capital law? I don't even understand what you're saying. It says, it seems as follows. You'll be able to know the difference between tamei and tahor blood. Mashu beinehem. Right? You'll be able to know the difference between tame and tahor and not be left besafek, which is problematic. What does it mean you'll know the difference between monetary law and capital law? Ratzal omer, mashu beinehem. Dahainu, dinei gzeilot v'chavalot. We're talking about theft and damages and assault. Because he said, one of the challenges of Dinei Mamonot is that sometimes theft and assault will remain in the realm of monetary law, and sometimes what will happen? It'll lead to murder. Right? Stealing and assault can, right, stop there, or it can lead to murder.
Valpi, Mashgad Reish, Sanhedrin, Dinei Mamonot, Lo Bay Mumchen, Ugzel V'Chalot Bay Mumchen.
Now, monetary law doesn't need mumchen, meaning people of smicha, but damages, but assault does. L'hachikar kamar ha-talmid, mi she'en ha-mumcha b'tchila, b'dan dine mamarot. What it's saying is as follows. If you start, before you even have smicha or whatever, and you judge monetary law, zo'chaliyot mumcha mitoch dine mamarot, l'havchen mashu b'in dine mamarot l'in nefashot. You'll have the schut of learning more and getting to the point where you can deal with chavolot, which is this borderline case. The hainu gzeil al chavolot by mumcha. And he proved it from Ben Ananas, who didn't have smicha. So technically he can only judge dinei mamonot. And yet he is paskening, he's an authority in chavalot and in capital cases. And he said, what's the unique about dinei mamonot? Why does it take so much wisdom? Because monetary law touches on all areas of law. Right? Monetary law touches on all areas of law. And what's unique about it isn't just the human intellect. It's that it forces you to engage through it in all areas of Torah. So as you become an expert, you become an expert through it in other areas of law. Because monetary law goes to chavala. Chavala ends up in capital crimes. And suddenly, right, you have to become an expert in all of Torah. Okay. So let's summarize what we've seen so far. Again, we saw that all of Nezikin is fundamentally one big unit. We saw that Bava Basra is the one that's least based on Psukim. In that context, the Gemara says, Arosesh Yachkim Yasuk B'dinei Mamonot, which, as the Tiferet Yisrael says, shows you that specifically Bava Basra, where it's all about the human intellect, that's what makes you wise. But then we saw two very different perspectives. There's the perspective of Kook, who says, the Torah, which is not based on Psukim, which is based purely on human intellect, that's the highest level of Torah. That's what it means. Arosa Sheyachim, you want to reach the pinnacle of Chachma, Yasek B'dinei Mamonot. But then you had others, the Chafetz Chaim, the Chasam Sofer, said, no, you missed the point. This is as a means, not an end. Arosa Sheyachim, you want to be smart to learn real Chachma, like Kudshim, to really understand the Torah, the Psukim. So get involved in the Mamonot. It's a great tool, but it's not an end. Some of the reasons that it's unique are, it's complicated. You have the right to be medama milta la milta. You can compare things. There is no such thing as a chumrah, right? So you always have to get it right. You always have to make a decision. The Marsha adds that when you're involved in dinei mamonot, what's special about it is, because it touches in all areas of law, it slowly, naturally makes you an expert in other areas of Torah. The Ben Yoyada adds that part of the challenge of dinei mamonot is that you have to realize the humanness in it, not just the human input, but you have to be not just smart, like book smart, you have to be sensitive. Because you have to realize that people, right, part of the reason they're invested in this is not just because they don't want to lose money, is they don't want to lose money to him. Right? And therefore, you have to be even more careful because you have to recognize what's at stake, that people don't like accepting, right, decisions against them. And that requires you to be even smarter and to make sure you get it right. I gave you here the Gur Aryeh. I'll say this outside. The Gur Aryeh notes, and this is, I think, what I'll end on. Though I put a bunch of various thoughts, but I won't do it now. But I'll end with this. The Gur Aryeh notes that the Gemara says that there were three types of laws that were given at Mara. When the Jews got to Mara, according to Chazal, they got some laws before Matan Torah. What did they get? So Maral says they got Shabbat, Parah, and Dinim. Right? Shabbos, right? Paraduma, and monetary law. Yes. And he says, what are Chazal really getting at? And he said, really what they're getting at is the recognition that In order to be ready for Torah, you need to recognize that all of Torah works together, even though there are very different types of Torah. What types of Torah are they? So he says, what Chazal is telling you is not necessarily these laws. He's saying this stand in for the three types of categories of Torah that you need to have a complete perspective on Torah. And therefore, Chazal said you needed a taste of it before you could get into Torah. And what are they? So he said, there is Shabbat is in certain sense a chok. In the sense that you work for 6 days and not on the seventh day, there's a gvul to what you can do. But he says, really what it is as follows. One second, I'll get to the key point. Okay, he goes through definitions of chok, I don't want to get into it. So he said, one is chok gamur, it's paraduma. Right? For Torah, you need a little bit of, right, chok gamur. Meaning, thing that you accept because you accept, you don't understand it. You also need, at the other extreme, dinim, right, which are completely based on human chachma. Right, monetary law is based on chachma. Shabbat is the paradigmatic example of a Torah law that just has a million details. Right? Where Paraduma is a law, Shabbat is a category, right? And it requires a tremendous amount of challenge to get through it because of how overwhelming it is in terms of details. And he says, you want a complete perspective on Torah, you need these three. You need Para Aduma, where the ability to accept things that are just unfathomable simply in their essence. Shabbat, which are things that are hard to understand, not because they don't make sense, because there's so much of it. Right? You need to be willing to commit to the parts of Torah that are overwhelming and all-encompassing. And you need to accept the parts of Torah that require a tremendous amount of human input to understand the precise details. And therefore, I think just as a way to end, it's true that there's uniqueness to Din Mamonot, either as an ends or as a means, because it recognizes the human element, because there's the moral dimension, the human element, all that stuff together. But obviously, right, that's not the whole story. Right? Even if you end up saying, like Rav Kook, it's the pinnacle of Torah, the whole beauty of Torah is that it's a holistic system that has ritual law, that has purity law, that has monetary law. So yes, it may have uniqueness, but it's also part of a broader framework. Okay? We'll stop there. I need a break in my voice before Marv in 5 minutes. Mishmar.